Michelle Siegel, let me tell you something. I love having her on, but she's not with us in the studio this morning.
I know. She's not in the studio with us today.
You know why? I think she was supposed to be here yesterday.
Yep.
And we had the live remote.
We had the live remote. That's the reason.
For food share.
But she's still here.
Well, good. Can we get her on, Eric? Let's bring her on. Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning.
Yeah. Sorry I can't be there in person.
Well, I know.
We are, too.
But glad to be able to talk to you either way.
Well, were you supposed to be here yesterday? Is that what it was?
No, I was always scheduled for today. Just logistically, we talked to your staff yesterday. It was going to be easier for me to call in.
Well, listen, we'll take you any way we can get you. So thank you so much for being with us this morning. So I know we're talking about the state's medical marijuana program.
The big marijuana program.
So how is this structured?
So the program itself has been around since 2012, and it's really set up in a good way for, we have almost 40,000 patients now in the state of Connecticut who are registered as medical marijuana patients and are benefiting from this medicine. But one of the really exciting things about the program is that in 2016, we added a component where there can be some real medical research into how this product works.
Yeah.
And that's something that we know the medical community really wants, and there's always a little discomfort with having a patient who may have a very serious medical condition taking this medicine that hasn't been fully tested. And so we're really excited, and recently with Yale Medical School and one of our businesses announced a new research proposal that they're moving forward with.
Yeah. How many do you have, did you say, now?
Right now we have, it's almost 40,000 patients.
Wow.
So I think, yeah, the exact number is like 37,000 something.
You spoke about Yale, and I understand that Yale, in one of the state's medical marijuana producers, they had a study approved through the program back in October. How many studies are out there?
Right now, there's four studies. There's that one, and then there were three others, one also with Yale, and then one with UConn, another one with St. Francis. And so what's really important and great about Connecticut's program is we're doing real research. These are real either medical institutions, institutions of higher education, where you can do some really serious medical research and get the sort of studies and start getting the kind of data and information that'll be really helpful as our program moves forward and more prescribers, more and more physicians are looking to use this with their patients.
You know, you have been working in this for a long, long time. You've been with us for a long time. How has this overall affected you as a person? And the reason I say that is because you are so involved. And it's like you have been there for your entire life, honest. And how has it affected you?
It's actually been one of the most fulfilling things I've had an opportunity to work on here. It's been great to hear the stories and see from how many people are benefiting from this program. So I was with the department back in 2012. I was the deputy commissioner at the time when this program passed. And so I was able to really work on it right from its inception and seen how it's grown from just a law that was passed to now a program. There's hundreds of people who are employed in this industry. There's almost 40,000 patients in Connecticut that are benefiting from it. More and more doctors. We have almost 1,200 doctors or APRNs who are now willing to give this medicine a try. So it's been really great to see it go from just a law that was passed to something that's helping tens of thousands of people, and it's providing some really good jobs to hundreds of other people in Connecticut. So it's been a really fulfilling thing to watch how it's evolved.
You were talking about the research and how unique it is, but the medical marijuana program in itself here in Connecticut is quite unique, isn't it?
It is, and that's what's really enabling the research as well. So we from the beginning really started with a fairly tightly controlled regulatory program, but what we wanted was for our program to produce real medicine, so medicine it's being created in manufacturing facilities that we treat like drug manufacturers, and it's being dispensed by dispensary facilities, but there's a licensed pharmacist there who's working with the patient. And we really wanted first and foremost to be thinking about the patients who are really sick. Maybe they have cancer or some other terrible condition, And they've got enough other problems in their life. What they don't need is medicine that's got pesticides, that's got heavy metals, that's somehow contaminated. So we really, from the beginning, were focused on making sure we created pure medicine and real medicine in Connecticut. And because of how the quality of the product, and because it's being laboratory tested, because it's being labeled like other medicine, now you can do the kind of research, because now researchers can purchase specific products and have a really clear understanding of what it is they're testing. Because the marijuana plant itself has a lot of different active ingredients, whether it's THC, CBD, but you want to know the precise amounts of each thing, so when you're doing tests and getting different results, you understand why.
Mm. You said 40,000 in Connecticut, just in Connecticut alone, right?
So 40,000 by the
pool. Almost. It's, 37,625 patients as of earlier this week.
Are there any other, like, updates regarding the program that you can give us, or?
You know, it's moving along great. We licensed a number of different new dispensary facilities. So when the program started, we initially had six. A few years later, when the patient count was, getting close to 8,000 or 9,000, we added three more. And then last year, we licensed another nine. And now it takes a period of time for those businesses to get up and running, but most of them now have. So that's one of the bigger things. And what's great, it creates more convenience for patients, a bit more competition, so it helps keep prices down. So that's really one of the big things. And then we've got this, the research is really moving forward, and that's been a terrific development in the program as well.
Yeah, people have witnessed, firsthand with somebody with, like, epilepsy or, you know, seizures and variety of illnesses, not necessarily be cured, but the pain at least relieved by the use of medical marijuana. And a lot of people think, and they have misconceptions, and they're wrong for thinking this, but it's not sitting back and getting a prescription for a joint and smoking it, right? I mean, this is more, manufactured and distributed in a different way, correct?
Yeah, it comes in a lot of different formats. So certainly there are continue to be some people who will smoke, and that's sort of a faster way to get the effects. But there our businesses are creating capsules, they're creating edibles, they're creating different kinds of lotions. So there's a wide variety of options, and really depending on, you know, what do you need it for, how quickly do you need to start feeling the effects of the medicine may depend on what form you take. And there's just a lot of variety out there. There's a lot of experimentation among our businesses and trying to see what works best for patients. You know, we have sublingual strips. We have things like that that are out there that, probably never would have happened, but just the innovation in the industry has been terrific to see, and patients are really benefiting from it.
How easily obtainable is this to the consumer?
Well, you need to, the bad part is you do need to have a serious debilitating medical condition. So, but if you have one of those conditions, and there's a fair number of them now, because as the program has evolved, that's one of the other things that's happened, is new conditions have been added either by the legislature or we have a board of physicians who makes recommendations. So now I believe we're up to 36. So unfortunately, you have to have one of those. But once you do, it's a straightforward process. What you do is you go to your doctor or an APRN, who you've been working with to work with you on whatever your medical condition is. And if they've been trying other things or they're finding that just traditional medicines aren't working, they can certify to us, okay, so-and-so has, this condition. It could be, severe rheumatoid arthritis, for example, is one recently added. And in my medical opinion, the benefits of marijuana are going to outweigh the risks. Fill out a few other things, submit that to us. Patient completes the application, and then we send them a card, after which you can then go to we have more than a dozen now dispensary facilities out there, and start buying medicine.
Have there been any complaints brought to your attention as the Commissioner of Consumer Protection?
Nothing significant. There's always, sometimes people are unhappy with a product they get, so you get things like that. There's always people who have ideas or thoughts on how the program can be better, but for the most part, we feel like we've got a really good program, and we're not seeing complaints here that aren't typical in any other industry. You know, prices is an area that can be frustrating for people because insurance doesn't cover this. So it is expensive if this is what you need to treat your medical condition and your insurance company doesn't pay for it. It is expensive at a cost, out of pocket cost for you.
I think a lot, what a lot of listeners would have, just a simple concern of making sure that this is not being prescribed for someone to just get high, right? I mean, or for recreational purposes.
Right.
There has to be proven medical need for this.
Yeah, I think that's really the direction Connecticut wanted to go. We didn't want to make this a recreational program or just a thinly veiled medical program. And so we do rely a lot heavily on our medical community, the doctors, the APRNs. They're the gatekeepers to this program. You can't get a card until a doctor is certified to us that you're an appropriate patient.
You know, one of the things that really impressed me as a person when you first took this assignment was that the way it was handled and the way that you explain it and the questions that my partner put to you to give the public a situation that they can handle.
Well, thank you. It's yeah, definitely a program we're proud of at the department, and we know it's helping a lot of people.
Sure. And that's the clarity that I wanted to make sure that I emphasize. This is not recreational marijuana. This is medical marijuana that is prescribed by a doctor to for legitimate purposes.
Absolutely. So this is medicine. It is being manufactured the same way you would expect other medicine. It's being dispensed. It's being... You know, we're one of the few states and certainly the first who really kept that relationship between the physician, the pharmacist, and the patient and really maintain that relationship. So, you know, it's not that you get a note from a doctor and then you go to a bud tender who gives you some marijuana. You're working with a pharmacist who thinks about how to treat, how to talk to people about medicine, who thinks about drug interactions, those types of things.
Commissioner, finally, where can people get more information about Connecticut's medical marijuana program?
So, as always, our website is a wealth of resources, and you can, you know, come visit our website. It's ct.gov/DCP, and then from there, go to programs and services and go on to our medical marijuana page, and we've got information really about everything, about how to become a patient. We have a information about all the research that's going on, overviews of the program. You can also, if you have a very specific question, you can always email us, dcp.mpp@ct.gov.
All right.
So those are probably the best ways.
Thank you so much, Commissioner, Department of Consumer Protection, Michelle Siegel. We'll looking forward to having you back in person next month.